From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few moments, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Our message now is called Christ, the Pattern of True Greatness. In Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28, the mother of James and John requested of Christ that her two sons might occupy the most prominent places in the kingdom of heaven, prompting a harsh reaction from the other disciples, who all thought that each of them should have first place. With his divine wisdom and insight, the Lord Jesus reminded them that humility before God and men was the path to true greatness. After all, he had come to be a servant himself. The message will follow in a few minutes. But first, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns reports on Al Gore's step of shame. He supports homosexual marriage.
About a month ago, I reported that EthicsDaily.com, a Baptist internet service, named Al Gore Baptist of the Year. Gore has recently demonstrated his ethical credentials by coming out in open support of so-called gay marriages. I say so-called because, first, there's nothing gay about homosexuality. Gay is a word that denotes joy and happiness. Homosexuality is a culture of gloom, doom, and death. And marriage is not open to redefinition. I know that the great Mr. Gore seems to have taken credit for creating the internet and has, with equal justification, claimed that men are causing the planet to heat up, thus threatening the world with impending disaster. But even such an evidently powerful man cannot redefine marriage. Even Gore wasn't around when the Creator made marriage what it was and is and ever must be, the union of a man and a woman. No matter what Gore, Nancy Pelosi, Ted Kennedy, and others of their ilk say, the perverted sexual union of two men or two women cannot pass as marriage. After his defeat for the presidency in 2000, Gore and his wife Tipper released a book, Joined at the Heart, The Transformation of the American Family, that included profiles of homosexual couples as well as traditional families. In 2006, Gore made a speech in which he referred to the gay marriage ceremonies performed at San Francisco in early 2004, and he said, "Some reacted with hatred and anger. What I saw was just the overwhelming love, the joy, the purity of the excitement that that love was being honored." Now he has given us this gem of further ethical insight. I quote, "I think that gay men and women ought to have the same rights as heterosexual men and women, to make contracts, to have hospital visiting rights, to join together in marriage, and I don't understand why it's considered by some people to be a threat to heterosexual marriage." I suspect there's a lot more that Al Gore can't see. The man's as blind as they come. What God's Word calls lust, inordinate affection, and evil concupiscence, Gore calls love. What the Bible says keeps a man out of heaven, Gore believes should be celebrated and sanctioned by law on earth. I say he believes all this because this is what he has said. Of course, he carefully refrained from saying any of this when he was running for president. He did not believe these things deeply enough to come out and tell the American people the truth about his positions. He is such an ethical Baptist that he did all he could to hide his pro-Sodomite beliefs, at least until he could get elected. Gore poses as a Christian. He passes for a liberal Baptist. The truth is that he is a radical left-winger, a socialist whose brief is to destroy the message and the morality of the gospel and replace them with the perverted inventions of men who share his own darkened view of life. I have refrained from making any political commentary on Mr. Gore or others in his political sphere. But this goes beyond politics. What Al Gore has done is to take a giant step of shame. He excuses his shameful position as one of love. Those who reject it, he denigrates as those who react with hatred and anger. This lie can no more cover his shame than the fig leaf could Adam's. Gore is the real hater, for he hates and despises his Creator's law and rises in rebellion to overthrow his order for a holy and happy society. Al Gore's love is on a par with his ethics. They both reek with hypocrisy.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew, 5 articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Want a model for a great life, a model for an important life. And let me tell you, at the end of the day, that's what living's all about. Don't tell yourself anything else, no matter how humble you are. Let me tell you, you know it in your soul. You want your life to count. This is what gets people so depressed, downhearted, so frustrated, so discouraged. This is what leads to hopelessness, that there's nothing in their lives, that their lives don't count for anything. They're hardly even a little cog in the wheel. You want your life to count. You want something truly important. You want your life to be something worthwhile. Well then, says Jesus, I'm your model. Get your eyes on me. Get your eyes on me. I wonder, is that where they are this morning? Let me bring it right down to a very simple level. Take the matter of appearance. Do you dress the way you think the Lord wants you to dress, or the way you want the world wants you to dress? Take the things you do. Do you do the things you believe are an imitation of the Lord, or do you do the things that are an imitation of the world? Take the attitudes you espouse in the home, in your business, and in the church. Are they an expression of what Christ is? Are they the mirror image of the blessed Savior? Or are you simply reliving the ungodliness of the world? Which is it? The Apostle Paul, in that famous passage in Philippians chapter 2, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? Very simply, you've got to think the way the Lord Jesus thought. think as he thought. Esteem things as he esteemed them. Judge righteous judgment as he judged. Let this mind be in you, which was in him. And then he gives you the greatest description of humility and service the world has ever seen, in some of the greatest language that even the oracles of God contain. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. I like B.B. Warfield's translation of that. He said it means simply, he made himself of no account. He took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And ultimately, to be anything for God, we've got to get to the death of the cross. Oh, I know we get to Christ's cross by faith, trusting him as our salvation. But he also said, take up your cross and follow me. The cross is death. That's why we were singing, above thine own ambitions. Rise above the pull of the flesh. How do you do it? Paul said, that I might know him. Philippians chapter 3. And the power of his resurrection, that's rising above. But how do you get to resurrection? You can't be resurrected unless you die. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The greatness of his person. Jesus said, you want to be great? I'm your model. I want us to get our eyes on him this morning. I want us to see him in all his greatness, and then see him among us as one who served. And that will lead us to the second great thing that the Savior emphasizes, and that is the greatness of his purpose. And we take up where we left off, that he came to be a servant. Now, the word that is used is an interesting word. It's the word deacon. He came to be a deacon. This is a word that doesn't describe so much a person's position as his action. The Lord Jesus was certainly superior in position to everybody, but he came as a deacon. That's the key to the whole life of Christ. You remember what Peter said in the household of Cornelius in Acts 10 and 38? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's the picture of Christ. Constant activity. Going about doing good. There is this compulsion that you see, and it's expressed frequently by the Savior. This compulsion in the life of Christ. I must be about the Father's business. I must move on to the next city. I must go and preach. There are others that I must bring. Constant activity. He says in Luke 4, why he came into the world. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. And just get this list of things: to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He was a deacon. A person who acted. Now that's the pattern, he says, we've got to follow. You remember how John put this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. He says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed." That's it. And in truth. And you'll notice this, that there's nothing true about your service merely by the position that you hold. Pastors are, in Presbyterianism, historically called the ministers of the churches. It's a good word. But more often than not, they have been the popes of the churches. Now, Presbyterians don't believe in popes, but that doesn't stop them being popes any more than Baptists. We've all seen Baptist popes and Presbyterian popes and Methodist popes. We've seen them all. Being in the position doesn't give any truth or any validity to the service. The only thing that makes a minister is his action. It's the only thing that marks him out as a true minister. And this is what John is saying. You're not to love in word. It's not just a profession. It's not just something that rolls off the end of your tongue, where you can pat somebody in the back and say the right word. But there has to be action. You've got to love in deed, in action, by your works. The Lord Jesus gave an example of this, did he not? In John 13, we may look at this separately as we approach the end of the life of Christ. I don't know, but John 13, you've got that wonderful passage where he washes the feet of the disciples. And you read there in verse 13 through verse 15, the words of Christ, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do," and he means you should do to one another, "as I have done to you." Now that's the standard of Christian service. That's the standard of being a deacon. And I'm not talking about the position of the deacon, though it certainly is true of those who hold that office. But it's true of us all. You have to do to each other, says Christ, as I have done to you. That's the standard of our service. And that must be the pattern that we've got to follow. Christ Jesus said, "I'm a servant. I'm a deacon." Now let's bring this right down to very, very simple terms. I don't want to go into too many details, but can you think of anything you have actually done in the last week to serve anybody? Can you think of anything you've actually done in the last week to serve your fellow believers in the body of Christ in this place? Is there anything concrete that you have done where you serve? You're giving out. You're actually doing something. And it's not because of what will come back to you, or because of what's expected of you, but just to be like Christ. See, I'll tell you what's wrong with most of our churches, and this one is not an exception. That most people have all the theory, and have all the theology. Well, let me rephrase that. Some people have all the theology. They've certainly got the theory. They're very good at criticizing. It's very easy to point out where other people fail. But when it comes down to being more than a spectator, they feel. Now, Christianity is not a spectator sport. Being a disciple of Christ does not make you an onlooker. Jesus says, it's time for you to get off your chair. It's time for you to get out of the bed of your ease. It's time for you to get away from your prejudices. It's time for you to give up your self-centered lifestyle. It's time for you to begin to do. Actually to do. Actually to get into doing something. And what are you to do? Do for other people as I have done for you. His purpose was service.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.